This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Before we begin today, please do consider voting for us in the upcoming Football Content Awards. We will be going for the Best Club Content Creator in the Football League category. All the necessary links to vote are in the description, each one counting for one vote. We all put a lot of effort into this channel, so again, please do consider voting. Thank you, and enjoy the podcast. Hello, and welcome back to the Blues Focus Podcast with me, Toby Kelsall, Zach Woods, and Josh Fletcher. Good evening, boys. How are we?
All good, mate. All good. All good after last night's result.
Can't really remember the last time we won by that sort of emphatic margin, really. So yeah, let's just dive straight into it. So where do we even begin with that one? I mean, like, perhaps the lineup is perhaps something that we've been talking about for a while, and it sort of contrasts really when you compare the performance we had against Norwich to the lineup and performance we put out against Huddersfield.
Yeah, absolutely, you're completely right. We've said it for a while that the lineups we've seen probably throughout the majority of September haven't been what we've wanted as fans, and the player selection we feel has been a little bit off. He got it spot on last night. As soon as I saw the lineup and saw it was released, my confidence instantly went through the roof. It's great to see Stansfield playing up top as the sole striker and not out wide. He's a lot more effective there. We're speaking to an Exeter mate actually, and although he played out wide for Exeter on the odd occasion, they voiced the same opinion. He's much more effective up top. Nice to see Miyoshi. He was in behind the striker last night, and we've said we think he's most effective out wide, but had a fantastic game last night and proved that he can play in behind the striker and still be as effective. Thought Bakker was brilliant going forward, and Dembele, I mean, he was just unbelievable last night. Two goals, looked excellent on the ball and cutting in on that right foot. He looked dangerous every time, could have had four or five last night. And yeah, the defence wasn't messed with. That stayed the same, and rightly so, because that defence has been decent so far this season. But overall last night, really good performance. Correct team was put out. That team performed as we expected when those players were on the pitch. But yeah, just a great night all in, really.
It was indeed. Josh, your thoughts on Siriki Dembele's sensational performance, to say the least, last night?
I mean, he's just incredible, isn't he? I mean, he's that type of player we've been looking out for at the Blues and really wanting for a couple of years, really. Like, defensively, obviously, that's not his role in the team. It's going forward. And he was just given the license to just stay forward. But every time he got the ball, something happened. I mean, that first half, he had about three shots just in a row where he just kept cutting in right foot, and almost every single one you were like, oh, it's going to go in. So just incredible. And I mean, the confidence he's got on the ball as well. I mean, he's only just come back from injury, so I did think, oh, like, how is he going to do? But you could tell just from minute one, it was like, okay, he's up for the game. And There were moments where he would be on the wing and the ball would be like the other side, and you could see him like adjusting his socks or bending over. And I was just like, oh no, he's going to be injured or he's going to pull up. And then the ball would go over and it's like, oh no, he's just get in position. He knows the ball's on the other side. He doesn't really have to get involved. And then as soon as the ball gets to him, boom, he's gone. So he's just a brilliant player. And it was nice to see someone other than Stansfield do the shooting for us last night and get those two goals. So incredible performance from him.
It was great to see, wasn't it? I feel like his sort of mentality is similar to that of Stansfield. It's like, work as hard as you possibly can to get into those shooting positions and take the shots on. Because last night, I mean, like, all four of the goals, pretty much, maybe aside from Miyoshi's goal, was pretty much a shoot on sight incident. I mean, the first goal was fortunate, to say the least, I think, as the keeper should have done much, much better. But then the second goal has brilliantly worked. I mean, out of the attacking three from Dembele, Stansfield and Miyoshi, who do you think, Zach, is probably who was the best player last night for us?
Oh, it's Dembele every day of the week. He was phenomenal. I mean, I know Josh touched on it a lot, but he looked so dangerous every time he cut on his right foot. I think the game he came on last for us, I think we mentioned it in the last pod, but we were saying it looks like he may have come back a bit too early. He didn't look his best, and I think he'll know that. But last night, he was just excellent. Obviously, to get two goals, he opened the season with a goal himself and a similar goal, get it on his right foot, smash it in the top corner. Great goal. That's something I wasn't sure if we'd see too much of from Dembele, is the goals, because he is a tricky winger, likes to play out wide. He's very rarely, you know, in and around the box, but he was getting in the best shooting positions last night. Him, Longolo, Miyoshi, I think they linked up really well on the left-hand side. It was a great triangle sort of connection they had going on there. But yeah, he was just excellent and for sure my man of the match. That's not taking anything away from the other players because I think everyone did their jobs last night. Stansfield probably had a slightly quieter evening than normal, but certainly didn't do anything wrong, just did his job, did what he had to do. As I've said, I thought Miyoshi was brilliant last night. Really nice goal at the back post as well. And then the other player that played a bit further forward, Bakuna, again, thought he had a good evening, looked good on the ball. But for me, yeah, Dembele had to be the standout last night.
Were you surprised at how poor Huddersfield turned out to be?
They're in a bit of a transitional period, aren't they? Because they've just obviously gotten rid of Neil Warnock and Darren Moore, isn't it?
Yeah.
Has obviously come in and taken over. It's tricky. They underperformed last season. Neil Warnock did very well to keep them up. I wasn't too surprised as to how poor they were from previous performances I've seen from them when Blues have played them. I've never watched Huddersfield in the last year or two and thought, wow, this team look exceptional. I did expect us to control the game, have the majority of the ball, the majority of chances, which I'd say is fair to say we did. But yeah, it was just one of those evenings where I think anything less than 3 points would have been disappointing. We picked up two from a possible 15 in September, which is pretty diabolical. To start the new month with all 3 points against a side that, you know, haven't started great, haven't started awful, just sort of an average start, but to thump them 4-1, yeah, it was brilliant.
I mean, I can't honestly remember the last time we did win 4-1. The last time we won by such a big margin was, I think, in 2014 when we played Reading. We won 6-1. I don't think we've had that big of a margin since, really.
We've had a few 3-0s. We've had quite a few 3-0s. We had Bristol City last season. We've had, in recent years, Hull a few years back. Sheffield Wednesday, we had a 3-0. Maybe Sunderland as well. I'm not too sure. So we've had a few 3-0s. I can't remember the last time we saw. Obviously, the Luton 5-0 as well. Can't forget that one. Trying to think of anymore. But no, it's put it this way, it's rare you see Blues grab 4 goals in a game.
It's rare we even get 2 at times. But yeah, we were fantastic. I think as well, actually, it was at home, so it wouldn't be away, actually, would it? So it's getting the facts right again, as usual.
Usual news, because we're never sure.
Welcome back to another episode of speculating of whether it's the right fact or not. But yeah, I was really pleased, and particularly how we seem to just turn up to not lose against Norwich, didn't we? So it was really nice to see where. It was a game that could perhaps be another one sort of go on the record almost. And I feel like with the rumours piling up about Eustace and his job as well, I feel like he was determined to put a strong team out and go out there and try and, you know, show everybody that he is still a good manager. He understands the team. And I'm absolutely certain that he doesn't play that team mostly because of maybe injury worries or whatever. But you can just see that team, it's so far ahead of anything else we can play. Playing Stansfield down the centre is so much better than playing Højgren in the centre. Putting Miyoshi and Dembele in the team, you know, there's fast interchangeable play. It's just the football that those type of players are so used to. It's what they can do every week. And obviously you've got two solid midfielders in Bielik and Sonjic. You've got great options off the bench. The defence, even though I did make an appearance, a sub appearance last night,
yeah.
But it's still very immaculate pretty much at times. It was a bit of a dodgy goal to concede, but perhaps maybe just chalk it down to a bit of late goal sort of switching off or whatever. And then obviously we've got a great experienced keeper in Ruddy. So the team really has got some real strong stability this season. We just need to use it right. And I feel like when those games come, I feel like we should keep a unchanged team for Friday night, go out and do pretty much the same type of performance, because even though West Brom have picked up in recent weeks and they beat Preston 4-0, of course, I don't think they'll be able to keep up with that sort of high pressure early on. And it was great to see as well, because it was pretty much what we were talking about in the last podcast together, of saying, like, get a fast start, get a couple of goals. And it's pretty much what we did. It's what we should have done against Norwich, really. So we'll take that into the West Brom game, hopefully, and try and do exactly the same, because I'm sure that they're there for the taking. You know, it's home as well. So I'm sure that we can, win, really. I mean, what's your guys' thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think, like, West Brom on Friday coming up, my dad's a West Brom fan, so I kind of keep tabs on how they're doing. And they very much seem to be, not, yes, they got the 4-0 against Preston, but like they only beat Sheffield Wednesday 1-0 yesterday. And from the sounds of it, it was very much they got the goal, and then rather than pressing on, they just sat back. So I think at the moment, they're just trying to kind of get results when they can. Otherwise, it's more just keep a clean sheet. So I think it'll probably be when they come to us, they'll sit back, we'll probably have the ball again. And I think that's, for me, what was so positive against Huddersfield was that on the ball, it was the first game I've seen Blues play in years where everyone just looked comfortable. Like, yes, we had our moments, but we're only, like, we're championship level. We're not going to be passing it around like prime Barcelona, although we did have our moments, to be fair to us. But yeah, it was just confidence on the ball, and even like Bielik just having the ball and going, oh, no, there's not an option. I'll just pass it off to Long or give it to Sanderson and we'll just build something else up. Like, I can't remember the last time I've seen Blues play that and it actually work, which was really positive. And I think that's probably something we're going to have to play like against West Brom. Like, I think we'll get a lot of the ball. So I think it's just positive that now we have got the likes of Dembele in the team starting, you're saying Stansfield up front to make those bursting runs. That was the thing I noticed all game, was those runs that he made was when Hogan's playing, it's almost like a half run. He kind of jogs into the position to say, go on, play the pass. And then he runs, whereas Stansfield was like, I don't care, I'm just running straight away, like full pelt. And he knew half the time, oh, I'm not going to get the ball. And it was almost like, I'm just making the run just so somebody else can get in the space, like Miyoshi. And yeah, that was exactly, just brilliant to see. So even if we are dropping back, all right, just ball over the top of Sandsfield. And it was just great to see. Like, we can switch it up. We can play quick football, or we can just slow it down when we need to. So I'm actually really looking forward to the West Brom game now to see what Eustace does. I mean, as you've said, keep the team exactly the same. No changes, unless there's a freak injury in training, which, knowing Blues, I mean, injury worries at the moment. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But yeah, keep exactly the same team and play exactly the same way as we did against Huddersfield. And we'll definitely get something from the game, because that starting 11 was, just watching it, I was like, I don't really fear any team in the Championship when we play like that, because the players that we have got, and that's not even our strongest team. We've still got Laird, still got Buchanan to come in. We've got the likes of Tyler Roberts, who I know we haven't seen much of him, but in pre-season he looked quite decent. Keshi Anderson as well to come off the bench, George Hall. Like, the options are there when they all come back, and it's looking promising.
Yeah, it's a great observation, actually, talking about the midfield, of how they were sort of just comfortable on the ball and everything. I almost forgot about that, actually, but because I was just so, you know, enticed with watching Dembele nutmeg the players and spin past them every time. But yeah, it's really good. It's a great point you make there, actually. I did have a second question, then I've completely forgotten it.
Sorry, mate. We'll just keep talking about how great Dembele is tonight, I reckon. Let's just keep banging on about that. He's such a baller, but this might sound a bit harsh on, say, Chong, for example, but I think the difference between the two there, it really made me aware last night of what a quality, just effective winger looks like. I think that's not me bashing Chong, because I do think Chong is a good footballer. looks great on the ball, very quick, very agile. I'm sure wherever he goes, I know, you know, he's playing in the Premier League now with Luton Town, which suggests he's a very good footballer. But whatever happens to him, I'm sure he'll have a good career in some way or another. But Dembele just looks that step above, I think is what I'm trying to say. And the fact we paid 750k for him and sold Chong for 5-10 million, including add-ons, just shows what a great bit of business that was. And I think having a player like Dembele in the side who's comfortable on the ball, almost rubs off on the other players, encourages us maybe to play a bit more possession-based football, which is something Blues haven't really done over the last decade or so. So I think having a player like that, it just rubs off on the rest of the team. But yeah, we can spend the rest of the pod just talking about Dembele if you want, Tommy. I don't mind.
I'd say to add to that, it shows how good Dembele is going forward. The fact that Longuello didn't even need to. Like all game he sat back, the amount of times he got the ball, that ball was always onto him for some reason,
and he played it brilliantly.
And he'd play the pass to Dembele and you could see him go and then go, oh no, I don't need to. And I think that's why he played so well against Huddersfield, because he just focused on defending. I think sometimes he loses it when he has to think about going forward and tracking back, whereas you could see in that game he just played the pass and he had his moments going forward, but it was very much just play the ball off, get back in position and just sit and wait for something to happen. Because, you know, well, Dembele can just do it all on his own.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Longuello's passing from deep last night was something that I thought was excellent. There was a point in the second half where he did about two or three just excellent passes in a row from deep. Thought he looked really good and really comfortable, to be honest. He's a player that's not been getting a load of game time. Probably will now that the Buchanan's out for, what is it, 6 weeks? He's out for a while, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I imagine Longuello will get some, you know, regular football. And who knows, by the time Buchanan's back, if Longuello keeps performing like that each week, I'm happy for that link-up of Dembele and Longuello down the left for the rest of the season. And again, that's nothing against Buchanan, because he's been one of our best players to start. But if it's not broken, don't fix it. If Longuello and Dembele are getting on well, Buchanan's got to fight for his position back, hasn't he?
One person who I particularly thought played well last night, Cody Drama. I thought he played fantastically last night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What I was going to ask, actually, what happens to Ethan Laird when he comes back? Because Drame hasn't put a foot wrong, really. I mean, he started a bit shaky, but the last couple of games I've seen him and I'm like, does Laird come straight back in? Because I think Drame's got a very good, very valid point to make, that I think Laird probably has to wait his turn for a bit.
I think we need to adopt that sort of policy where, like, you get injured, that's unfortunate, but the next player comes in. If he plays just as good as you've been playing, then he maintains his position until he gets suspended or injured or whatever, or if he doesn't play quite a good game, then you come back into the team. And I imagine that would create, like, a fairly decent competitive environment for both players to work in, really, because it can only lead to better football in that way as well. Because if Longuello's playing his style of football, then we can adapt him into that sort of team. And then obviously when Buchanan's back and he can play in that way as well, and then obviously Laird and Drama as well. So yeah, I mean, it's fantastic, really. The depth and the stability of the team, I feel, has been like, I think it's sort of slipped under people's radar, even though some of them have been getting injured quite frequently. And obviously Tyler Roberts is very injury prone. I'm surprised Bielik hasn't taken a knock yet. I'm certain that's going to happen. I'm just going to check my phone, actually, and look at my notifications just in case I've missed anything since we've been recorded. Christian Bielik out for 9 months. Shit.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for it at some point. But yeah, I think that sort of slips under people's radars. Despite signing loads of players, it wasn't like the spending spree that it was like with Redknapp. This one was just like sensible signings that for a reasonable price as well, to build a team as well, because it wasn't just a team full of individuals. It was a team that had some good quality, some real good football ability, and just really, like, it builds the team well together, aside from maybe a spare goalkeeper. And maybe, I don't know, his defence is looking pretty strong as well. And maybe another striker as well. I feel like we've actually gotten some really solid backup this season as well, which is something I would have absolutely bitten your hand off for last season.
Go on, you go, mate.
I was going to say, I think, thinking about it, we've got at least two players for every position, like right back, centre backs. Like, the fact that Awu is having to come on at right back just shows how well Long and Sanderson are doing. And I think under previous managers, you would have seen Awu come in for the odd game by now. But I think it just shows how trusted those two are at the back. They are like the leaders of the team. I mean, Sanderson, yes, has the armband, but Kevin Long is just, he's your proper centre-back. I think where Sanderson's a bit quicker and he's more of a modern-day fullback, centre-back. Long is just that brute force at the back. I mean, he's got the highest win percentage of headers in the league this season so far. And I mean, just last night I was counting them and he won almost every single one. And you can see with Long Gelob as well, he was like kind of coaching him through the game defensively, which again is, that's what Longello needs. I think last season he didn't really have that with like Trusty, for as brilliant as he was. It was his first proper season in English football as well. So he couldn't coach himself and Longello as well. So Long's just been able to do that for him.
So that's standard, I think, as well, because Long is a former Premier League player, even though he probably didn't have as many games. Trusty had never played in the Championship before and obviously was still young himself. He did have Harley Dean for a little bit, but only for a small period of time because then he was, well, quote-unquote, injured and then didn't play for us after that. So that was quite strange, really. But yeah, I think with Kevin Long, I think he's just like that type of player and that type of person as well. He's got a lot to really offer him. And you saw that last night, really did. Everybody was just absolutely solid.
I think I agree. I think I've seen a few people this season complain about the lack of depth, but I think that's probably more injuries and everything. Let's say we have a fully fit Blues squad. We have got plenty of depth, particularly in the wide positions. The midfield, we've got Bielik, Sunjic, Bakker, Alfie Chang, if he's fit, he's there as well. Fullbacks, we've got two for each position, Longolo, Buchanan, Laird, Drama. And then obviously Iwu, Long, Sanderson. Probably centre-halves, the one position where the depth is lacking a little bit. Strikers, we've got Stansfield, Hogan, Juki. I'd say we're fairly all right there. So I'd say apart from centre-half, most positions are fairly well covered when everyone is fit. It probably seems like the depth is a little bit less at the moment due to the amount of injuries. But I think going back to what we were saying a few minutes ago, the fullback positions, we are blessed this season because Drama and Laird are both equally as good as each other. And I think to have competition for one spot and two players who are so good going at it for that one position, I think is such healthy competition and it's so good for Blues. When one of them is injured, we've got an equally as good player there for backup. And I think it's great to have Buchanan, Longolo. Probably Buchanan is at his stage of a career at the moment, the slightly better left back, but Longolo's just as good to come in when we need him to. And he did his job last night brilliantly. So to have a good amount of depth in this Blues team at the moment, lacking a little bit because of the injuries. But when everyone is fit, we've got, you know, Tyler Roberts back as well. As you said, Keshi Anders. When everyone's back, the depth in the Blues team and the options we have, there is no reason why we can't be going for a top six spot this season.
Yeah, I think it's as well, though, because like when your players are injured, you don't have depth, do you? But, you know, that's what depth is for there. I mean, like, yes, if a few players get injured and you've got no backups, then that's poor depth. But like, if we have just a couple of players out, then we've got loads of players to fit in. But it's just that we've been hit with just a bit of a wave recently of many injured players. I think it's about six currently injured at the moment. So we've got on the list.
It's
not a great thing to think about, particularly when we've got a Derby Day coming up, which I think we should talk about actually.
Norwich. I think we should probably just ignore Norwich. Never happened, did it?
I think Norwich can be sort of intertwined because it was almost the complete opposite of the Huddersfield game. Almost, it was the blueprints of where we saw our mistakes almost because we put out a very unconvincing starting lineup. Is that a word? Which one's the right word?
Shit lineup, basically, mate. That's the word.
I'm trying to swear less on the podcast. I'm going to swear whenever I like on the vlog. But on the podcast, I'm trying not to, but fuck it, it's a shite lineup. And we played very defensive football against the very possession based team. And we just sort of faded in the second half. It was just the complete opposite with Huddersfield. We played a much better team in the starting lineup. We played very attackingly, and we stuck in it in the second half. We scored two goals in both halves. You know, we were absolutely phenomenal. You know, that is exactly how we should play each week. Obviously, it's difficult to keep up to those standards, but you know, those standards are there to try and reach as well, though, because like you keep on playing games like that, you're going to keep on going up the table. So I think that's the same for the good sort of comparison in two games of how to not approach a game and how to approach a game, because particularly when we've got West Brom now, I feel more confident for it, you know.
Yeah, I think we almost needed that Norwich game to go the way it did for Eustace to kind of know then, okay, not going to make that mistake again. And then we get the Huddersfield game. I think if that Norwich game doesn't happen, we don't get the Huddersfield game, because I think Hogan stays up front, which means Stansfield's not there. And I think the whole thing doesn't work. So it was kind of like a light bulb moment. And I just hope that Eustace has seen that now and gone, yeah, okay, what I was doing before wasn't working. And now we've seen that it is working. So hopefully, as I say, same lineup for West Brom and we play the same way. Just we need to not change it and think, oh, we don't want to lose the game. We need to be more, let's go and win the game. And I think that's when we play better.
Go on then, give us some predictions. Zach, you go first.
Baggies, just to say, before I say his prediction, I did get Norwich right. So
you did, actually.
I did get it right. So hopefully I get it right. No, actually, I was about to say hopefully I'll get it right this time, but I'm not sure I'm backing a Blues win. It's a tricky one because West Brom have started the season well. I believe they're in a playoff spot at the moment. Last season, we obviously did the double over them. And obviously against Huddersfield, we played very well. I think it is heavily down to how the lineup looks. And as we've alluded to and said, it should be exactly the same despite a freak injury. So if that lineup stays the same and we see a similar quality, there's no reason why we can't win the game. It's whether it's been quite a heavy schedule recently, having played Norwich last Saturday, Tuesday, and then to go again Friday. We're playing earlier than, you know, most teams. So I think I'm going to be boring and I'm going to sit on the fence for this one. I'm going to go a draw. If you'd asked me after the Norwich game, I would have said we're not going to beat Baggies. But last night was so excellent. I think we can go in and at least get a point. And I take a point because I think West Brom will have a good year this year. As I said, they've started the season pretty well. Friday night under the lights is always nice at St Andrews. Hopefully it's a good crowd and can get behind the players. So I'm going to go, if the lineup's the same and hopefully we can produce a similar performance, I'm going to go a 1-1 draw, I think.
Okay, yeah. I don't think that would be a bad result, actually, particularly in the frame of how many games. Yes, we've had a great result, but I don't think that's a bad result, really, to come out of, really. Josh, obviously, you've got relatives who are West Brom fans. I'm not even going to ask how that became a thing, but give us your prediction for...
I mean, I've quite liked playing West Brom the last couple of years because we've done quite well the last two seasons. So hope that continues. I think if we keep the same lineup, then I am positive. I'm going to go for 2-0. I think we will get something from the game. Well, I hope we'll get something from the game. I think I'd take a 1-1, depending on the performance. The thing for me is that they don't seem to be playing with a striker at the moment. I think, I'm not sure about the last game, but I know the game before, they started Jed Wallace up front, and he's typically a winger. So part of me can just see Thomas Asante getting a goal, because it's just typical that he would get one. But then I also think our defence looks really good against Huddersfield. Yes, they got the late goal, but I think, as you say, that was more just game was over. And we cancelled it out like a minute later anyway. So I'm going to go 2-0. I think we'll get a goal first half, and then we'll do like against Huddersfield, we'll get one about 60th minute to kill the game off again. So I'm feeling more confident than after the Norwich game.
I could see a 2-0. I could see either one, to be honest. It all depends on how the night goes, of course. But I could sort of see, like, I think what we could try and do almost is like we try and end each half as strongly as we can, because I feel like towards the end of the first half is a great opportunity, particularly against, I mean, a team like West Brom this season. Did you say they were very possession-based, Zach?
I have no idea. Somebody said I haven't watched too much of him, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I can't remember that. Again, welcome back to the Blues Focus.
No idea. They might lump it forward. They might pass it. Who knows? Don't ask us.
My point still remains, because I feel like in these games where it gets quite tight towards the end of both of the halves, I feel like there's goals in that, really. So I feel like if we were to take an early lead, yes, it's fantastic. And yes, we can obviously build on it. But then again, we've got a long time then to try and hold on to a lead, really. So I feel like if we try and pinch it towards the end of the first half and then pinch another goal towards the end of the second half, I feel like there's a game plan in that, really. So I feel like there's, rather than trying to go for the kill like we did against Huddersfield, because, I mean, they were flat and lethargic, weren't they? That scoring an early goal against them only helped the game out more. But I'm sure that West Brom and the players will be up for it. And so if they do go goal down early, they'll be wanting to respond as quickly as possible just to get the fans back on side and everything. So it'd be great, obviously. I mean, fuck it, I'm not obviously going to say that I don't want to score early. Of course I do. But I feel like there's more of a chance of us winning the game if we do get those goals later on, really. Because I feel like, just as I said, then West Brom probably won't have the answer then, and they'll start to make mistakes, and then we can pick off them. Because that's something I've really picked up on this season, is the fact that, like, a loose pass here and there, we did it absolutely fantastically against Bristol City away, where there was like a clumsy pass or something that got caught up in the midfield, and we're on them. Bielik and Laird particularly, they were just like stepping in front of players, intercepting the ball and getting us back on the break. I feel that's exactly what we can do against West Brom. Just sort of like we could perhaps sit a bit more defensively. So if Eustace does want to change the sort of the tactics and the style for that game, I think that's fair enough, really, because it will be a trickier game, obviously, because local rivals and that. And it probably would favour us as well, because then we can get Dembele and Miyoshi going up front. And what I've noticed as well, even though we were counter-attacking and we still had the ball, it sort of came from a position where, like, there was a couple of defenders in between the goal on the counter-attacks last night. I feel like if we do sit deeper and then win the ball, put it out to Dembele or Miyoshi out on the right or anything, then as soon as they're past them, and I'm absolutely certain they'll blast past them, then we've got a proper old-fashioned counter-attack on then. And then players like Stansfield up front, they'll just absolutely smash them in, really. I'm absolutely certain of that. So in terms of a game plan, I'd like to see that. I think we could definitely get a couple of goals, but I also think that we are probably a bit prone towards a goal conceding, actually, particularly in a game like West Brom. So I'll go 2-1. I think it's going to be a close encounter.
Yeah, I think a big thing as well is that it's a sellout again. The lower Tilton being open as well, I think that's going to be a massive thing, especially second half. If we're shooting towards the Tilton in the second half, then that's going to be a major factor. I think probably if the game's a bit low, like that's what I noticed against Huddersfield. I know we were 2-0 up, but when the second half started, I think it was like the first 5 minutes, and I was like, the atmosphere's just gone. It's like we almost didn't want it last night. Yeah, we almost didn't want the half to end. But then, like, again, as soon as we started getting that playing back and we got our chances in the second half, it came alive again. So I'm sure with the Tilton back open, the lower Tilton back open, then that's only going to help us as well.
Yeah, it's so nice to have that back open again. It's mad to think that the last time we saw fans in that lower Tilton was 2019. How ridiculous. We're not far off 2024, and 2019 was the last time we saw fans in that lower Tilton. So it's going to be great to see. I'd have quite liked to sit there myself, to be honest, on Friday night. But obviously, I don't know how it's done. How is it done? Have they just gone out to... Have people been moved, or have they just gone on general sale there? Or
some people have moved. I know there was a guy on the radio that said he got off. So if you had a seat there, you got offered to move. So I used to sit there before, obviously, they closed it. And at the start of this season, they offered me it back. And they were like, we'll give you a temporary seat and then you can move back while it's there. But I mean, we like the seats we're in now, so we've decided to stay. But I know some people have just been waiting, and now that it's back open, they've been given the chance.
That's smart. Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Compromise that is.
Yeah, speaking of where people are sitting, Tommy, you're in the executive part last night. Do you want to tell us about that? How was it? That's twice now you've done it, isn't it?
Well, if I must. Yes, I did have executive seats last night. It wasn't the same as last time. I was in Boardroom Hospitality last time, which we won through the end of season awards. And then obviously won last night, which you'll have seen on the blog if you've watched this. If you haven't, then it's just in the top right over there. Go and watch it. Yeah, it was fantastic, really. I mean, like it's great to do every now and then, obviously, because like, I mean, the seats are fucking great and everything sitting in them and getting meals and drinks for free and all that sort of stuff. That's fantastic. So yeah, it is a proper great experience. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back into the to the mosh pit on Friday night. That'll be good. But yeah, it's fantastic, really. And I did get to what was it again? I think it was hand a bottle of champagne over to Jay Stansfield, who was the man of the match last night. So that was cool. I didn't know I was actually going to do that until the guy called my name out. So it was just like, Ooh, me? He said that it's his 21st birthday today. Technically, it wasn't. It was on Sunday. But yeah, it just sort of, it was great, really. I really did enjoy it. Yeah. I feel like if anybody has ever considered doing this, it's definitely worth the money. It's great seeing it from a different point of view. I'd do it just for the seats at times. But anyway, I mean, are you going Friday night, Zach? Because you were there last night.
Yeah, I'm going Friday night, but I'm going as a fan on Friday night. I was in the press box last night doing a few little bits, yeah. But now I'll be in the back in the stands Friday night, mate, with my dad. So yeah, looking forward to it. Don't know where we're sitting, but yeah, it'll be good, mate. Not the executive suite or whatever. It won't be there, but it'll be somewhere in the stands. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Are you coming the roost before the game?
I don't know. Man. I think I got a leg day, and I watch it. Nah, I'm joking. That nah, I once this season, I promise I will. I will. I'd like because it's the garden been revamped or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they've had turf put down obviously through the winter months. So.
Yeah,
you got to come and speak to Jamie. I mean, like Jamie. Jamie's funny at the best of times. He's like very opinionated when he's in the pub.
After a few drinks. He's
got a pint in his hand.
What he says after a pint couldn't go on here. So yeah, we'll keep it. We'll keep it to the pub. But now, once this season, I'll come along. we love him, really.
We love you, Jamie. Come back on the show. Where the fuck are you tonight, eh?
Yeah.
Honestly.
God knows. What else is there to talk about? I'm trying to think. Is anything else happened at Blues that's noteworthy?
Don't know.
It's been quite a quiet period, really, hasn't it? We've had a few injuries, but it's just pretty much been the games to report on, hasn't it? Normally something wild's going on at Blues, like the stands are falling down or someone said something and it's all gone off, but it's been quite quiet, really.
I feel like we've come from a season where, like last season, we had like every week we had to be so on it in making sure that we had the news and everything right, because there was a couple of times last season where we'd finished recording and literally like we'd still be on the call having the chat afterwards and literally something else would come out afterwards again. So I feel like we've gone back to normality a bit and we're sort of still on edge about everything. So like I'm still flicking through my phone about news potentially coming out about it. But
well, last week it happened last week, because when we were recording, as soon as we finished, it was Buchanan's injured. Literally about 20 minutes after we topped off the call, it came out that Buchanan. So we're going to end this call today. Eustace would have been sacked. Stansfield will be going to Real Madrid or something. Like it'll just all go off. It really will.
Oh God, it was just mental last season. How we've changed so quickly in less than a couple of months. Because you compare that end of season last season against last game of the season, sorry, against Sheffield United to the first game of the season or first home game back at Leeds. It's just like it's only a couple of months. Yeah, it was completely different. I mean, like the speaking of which, actually, they have revamped some of the things in the executive room. They haven't. I didn't see the sort of the big open plan that they've got. You know, with the sort of the big ring light in the middle of the floor and everything. I actually didn't know where that was, but they've done up all the reception and of course all the stuff outside the ground looks fantastic as well. But yeah, I feel like it's just like I'm proper feeling a proper attachment again with the Blues, really. And it's been a while since that's been like a proper feeling back at the club. But yeah, it's fantastic to see again, and long may it continue.
It's nice that the only explosions at the club are the fireworks at the start of the game.
Yeah, very true. But even small things like that is so great to have. Like, it just gets you up for it. And since the owners have come in, even even smaller details, like the fence has been painted, or I think they've got like a new blue turf around the pitch, which just makes things look nicer. It's just they've come in, they've done such a fantastic job. And even the match day programs, they've improved significantly, I think, from last season.
Yeah.
They were right last season, but this season they seem bigger. There's interesting stuff in there. The designs, the covers are really nice. Everything around the club is improving. And, you know, if you told me last season our new owner will go Preston away and cover a 600 quid bar tab, I wouldn't have believed it. So the changes at the club have been amazing. Mm. You did say, Tommy, before everyone cut out, is there anything else to speak about? I think it's good to sort of mention Jude, maybe, because Jude is performing incredibly at the moment for Real Madrid. Also, Hannibal started last night for Man United, and I know they had a poor result, but Hannibal starting in the Champions League for Manchester United, I think it's pretty, pretty decent, given he was a Blues player last season. I'm glad he's being used at Man United, because I think he's a very good footballer. Maybe not Man United quality. Well, if he's starting in the Champions League, Erik ten Hag clearly feels he is. But it's just nice to see both him and Jude doing so well for their clubs.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point you raise, really, because both players have been in the Blues teams in very recent years, and they've gone on now, and both are featuring in the Champions League. So, I mean, credit to them. I thought they're both fantastic. Obviously, Jude's fucking the best player in the world at the moment. But Hannibal as well, I thought he was great when he was at us. And in that first game against Preston, I haven't seen that such intense pressing for such a long period of time. He was fantastic, you know. And I feel like that's why I've been a bit disappointed the fact we didn't get Trusty back, because I feel like he's gone to Sheffield United. It's not quite working out for him at the moment. So I feel like, had he come back to us, I feel like we would have looked even more solid than we do right now. I feel like it would have been better for him as well to come back into the team in a better lineup as well, and, you know, kick on his progression a bit more. But, you know, I feel like he's still a fantastic player and everything, but probably just I'd just like to have seen him come back to the Blues, really. But it's really welcome.
Would have been nice if even if he were, it might sound a bit controversial though, but even if he were to come back right now, say he came back, he doesn't get into the team for me at the moment. And that's not taking anything away from Trusty, because last season, over the last decade I've supported Blues, he's probably been my favourite centre half, certainly in recent times. But Long and Sanderson have been excellent. I think statistically, Long's up there with one of the best in the league, I think, the way he started the season, or at least he's got a few stats where he's like number one or two. Josh said that
he had like best headers in the league or something like that. Yeah.
So we'd have to go to a five back, but I don't want to play a five back. So for me, if Trusty was to come back right now, as good as he is, he hasn't really been playing football since last season, has he? He doesn't get into the team for me. So that's where we're blessed with how our players are performing, and another mention to the depth we've got, really.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely excellent. I don't think there isn't much to talk about else, is there? Aside from maybe talking about HS2 going through Birmingham, but we ain't getting into that. There's too much politics and all of that nonsense.
We'll leave that to like more highbrow podcast.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's Birmingham related and Tom Wagner's having a say on it and everything. But I don't think if you want politics, you've got football politics. Yeah, we're going to talk about the VAR decisions and all that sort of stuff. We ain't talking about Conservatives and Labour and all that stuff. This ain't the place for that. where's this podcast going?
Tommy's just waffling at this point.
I know. I feel like I've missed something, though. That's the thing.
No, I don't think so.
Because you predicted the scoreline correct last week, you win this pot of pins. So
brilliant. Well, that's what I'm Get thinking. In. You could ship that to my address, mate. I'm making you really inconvenience yourself for a pot of pins. But yeah, ship it to me, mate. Next day, first class, ideally. That'd be brilliant. Thank you.
I should have like a little cup or a little trophy or something. We should have like a Blues Focus mug. It's like predicting the scoreline correctly. I mean, I was closest last night, as I said, 3-1. And then Jordan James popped up and made it 3-1. 4-1, sorry. Jack went with 9-all because, of course, he never says anything normal. And then I think my dad said like 2-0 or something like that. So yeah, we will try and introduce a few more things like that. We might even be thinking about doing some live podcasts pretty soon, because I think it's just keeping up to date with what we can really just bring immediately to you, and also as well, it would help on the editing side of things as well, now that I'm getting busier as well. But yeah, hopefully you've enjoyed this latest episode of the Blues Focus podcast. Remember to like and subscribe, and be also to follow us on all of the on your streaming platform of your choice, and also of course subscribe to us on YouTube. Remember, we are going for an award at the Football Content Awards on November 16th at Anfield. You can still vote for us through the links in the description. You can choose between all three, or you can just pick one. You can vote on the website. You can post a pre-filled tweet out, and you can also tag us in our Instagram post. All the links, like I said, will be in the description. But yeah, guys, thank you very much for joining me. It's great to have you on as usual. And yeah, thank you for watching. Keep right on.
Keep right on.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
There's always something new and exciting happening in Montgomery County, Maryland. Join podcaster and business leader Kelly Leonard and me, Bob Levy, on another episode of Something to Talk About, where we speak with industry leaders making an impact in our county.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.